So this morning I'll be talking about the unsustainability of intensive food production systems. What are the causes and what are the solutions, possible solutions to improve the sustainability in intensive agricultural systems. So this is a kind of a review paper which touches the broad issues of sustainability, and then what are the possible solutions we can use to solve the sustainability problems. So first of all, let us look at why do we need intensification. We need about 100% increase in production. We need to double the production in the next 35 to 40 years from the 2010 level. So 50% is needed to meet the food demand of increasing population. 25% is needed to meet the demand with the changing diet of the middle class people, middle class, which increases from 1.8 million to 4.9 billion by 2030. Another 25% is needed to meet the non-food uses of food grains, like biofuel, etc. So we should also note that a third of the food we produce we don't eat or we don't consume. So that loss, if it can be reduced, we can moderate the future food demand. So for the last 40, 50 years, we used the intensive form of agriculture, like what is called the Green Revolution, and it did help feed the population for the last 40, 45, 50 years, and it averted the famines in many developing countries, and also it saved the marginal lands cleared for agriculture, because the Green Revolution was used mainly in the high potential areas with irrigation potential. At least in the initial stages, there was less pressure on land, water, and other natural resources. So now we'll look at what are the, when the farms became larger and larger with the monocropping, and then very high uses of inputs like fertilizers, pesticides, etc., there are a lot of problems developed and made these intensive systems highly unsustainable. So we will look at what are the factors that make the intensive system unsustainable in three categories. One is the economic factors, the second one is socio-political factors, third one is ecological. Then we will develop the short, medium and long term remedial measures that can improve the sustainability in these systems. In the case of economic unsustainability, particularly with reference to the smallholders, more than 500 million smallholders, they produce food, 50 to 80% of the food in the world, and they are affected because of the focus on large farms. The intensive agriculture is mainly focused on high potential areas with the large farmers, with the result marginalized, the smallholders are marginalized, and then the poor access to market and also credit that created a lot of problems for the smallholders, and the inefficient or excessive use of inputs, a rising cost of inputs, as well as stagnating yield. All the three, it increased the production cost and then reduced the profit for all the farmers, both small and large farmers in this case. And then with the loss, post-harvest and processing losses, and then waste in the later half of the supply chain, it made the supply chain, the value chain, highly inefficient. And with the inclusion of the food in the commodity markets, there was a lot of speculation and manipulation of the prices that affected the farmers as well. So in the case of large farmers, more or less all the factors worked in the resource scarcity increasing and then rising cost. With this kind of thing, new people cannot enter into the agriculture because of high initial investment cost, and then high inputs use, which really reduce the efficiency and reduce the profit for the farmers. Same way, the reducing the rising cost of inputs to increase the production cost and reduce the profit. Like any enterprise, profitability is the baseline for any enterprise to survive, actually. So in this case, farmers as well as the many actors in the value chain must have enough profit for them to remain in business. Otherwise, it is not sustainable anymore. And the policy and institutional support is critical to solve many of these problems. In the case of socio-political and livelihood impact, on the positive side, farmers do produce and supply us with a healthy food, and also they manage the ecosystems that provide us healthy ecosystem services. Agriculture is the largest industry in the world, and it employs about 28 million people. 28% of the population is employed in agriculture actually. And it does provide the rural prosperity. On the negative side, there is land scarcity and land grabbing which is happening in many developing countries, which have affected small farmers, and also they lost the livelihood in the process. And in terms of food production, health and nutrition, there is a very close link. On one side, about 900 million farmers, they suffer from food insecurity and malnutrition. And 1.5 billion people, they suffer from what we call excessive consumption or consumption of the wrong food, which results in obesity and also related health problems. And large agricultural monopolies, there is a cartelization, and then the production of what we call GMO seeds, again, and the monopoly sector and monocrop farming, which are creating a lot of those problems in terms of socio-political system. In terms of ecological unsustainability, we can look at the resource depletion and degradation, and also the loss of ecosystem services like clean water, air and fertile soils, etc. And we also have loss of biodiversity and then genetic diversity because we concentrate on few crops with a few varieties which are high yielding actually. And then in case of greenhouse gas emission, which causes the climate change, again we have a lot of problems with the climate change. And then with the use of high inputs per unit of land, water, fertilizers and pesticides, about 50% of the nitrogen and large amount of phosphorus we apply to the soils, they end up in the water, creating water pollution. And then we also discuss about the nitrous oxide emissions and the carbon emissions into the atmosphere that is related to the climate change again. And then overuse or excessive use of pesticide and herbicide that create the environmental pollution. So if we don't change our what we call system of production, and if we continue business as usual, we may lose about 50% of the current production by 2050. So let us look at some details, the resource depletion and degradation. In this case, destruction, loss of wetlands and peats, mangroves and tree buffers that has created a lot of soil erosion, and then we have lost the habitat also. Tropical deforestation, about 7.3 million hectares are lost due to deforestation, and about 70% of the land cleared is used for commercial crops, commercial monocrops and livestock grazing. It does produce 1.47 trillion gram of what you call the carbon emissions into the atmosphere, and we lose about 50,000 species every year because of the tropical deforestation. And land, soil and water degradation, a third of the soils is degraded to different levels. It's due to acidification, soil erosion, nutrient depletion, etc. And then soils also contribute to and affected by the greenhouse gas emissions. It is related to carbon cycling and carbon sequestration. And water depletion, water pollution is the greatest threat to the sustainability of the intensive systems. And there are three forms of biodiversity is very important. One is the above ground biodiversity, and then the ocean biodiversity, and then soil microbial biodiversity. All these three are very closely connected with the human intestinal microbiome, which determine the health and immunity of the human being. So they are very important in terms of our own health and the immunity. In the case of soil biodiversity, so I will quote Charles Kellogg, so there can be no life without soil, and there is no soil without life. They have evolved together, so they live together in balance, and we need to maintain this one in order to save the health of the systems and also to produce healthy food. So So if we lose the biodiversity, we lose the biosecurity, resilience, and also ecosystem services, which are very important for our own survival. The other aspect is the greenhouse emissions. A quarter of the global greenhouse emission comes from agriculture, mainly deforestation, land use change, and all agricultural activities. With this impact, the climate change, we lost crops due to drought, floods, and tropical storms, etc. We also lose the infrastructure, general as well as agricultural infrastructure. And then we do get affected by the weather-induced human diseases and soil loss and desertification. Annually, we lose about 12 million hectares due to desertification. And then we also end up with a high carbon water footprint in the entire value chain. So what are the mitigation measures we can take to improve sustainability in the intensive systems? So let us look at the possible solutions in three aspects: short term, medium term, and long term. We need to reduce and reverse the negative environmental impacts, regenerate soils, clean up water sources, etc. And then we need to restore habitats, which is important for the wildlife, and then some of the processes like pollination, etc. in agriculture. I have given three examples of habitat restoration in California. So we need to document such restoration of habitats in intensive farms that will help improve the ecosystem as well as agricultural production. So we have technologies which are resource efficient and can be used for productive and profitable farming that we should use as much as possible and spread to all the farmers. Here I have shown some of the examples. One is from South Korea, the afforestation of the barren mountains that happened in 40 years. Another one is the Niger, where the barren land has been converted into, with the agroforestry system, trees and crops together growing. So in the medium term, we need to move from hydrocarbon energy sources to renewable solar, wind and hydropower, and also we need to upscale the resource scaling technologies to farmers at large, like a conservation agriculture practices, diversification, particularly crop animal systems, and then integrated site specific integrated nutrient management using both organic and fertilizer sources, efficient irrigation methods, groundwater and soil moisture management in rain fed systems, and also integrated pest management. In addition to the production, we should need to reduce food losses and waste by improving post-harvest and processing and storage at the farm level, and also reducing waste in the later half of the supply chain, transport, distribution, retail and consumption areas. Here there are some examples of intensive systems with multiple cropping or intercropping in plantations, and then row intercropping intensive systems, and some of the what you call live hedges on the contour. And these are very good examples of very high intensive systems with high biodiversity. They are efficient in resource use, and the high productivity is high, and we do get food, fodder and fuel products from such systems. And then the fertilizer and pesticide use is reduced, and there is also 50% reduction in fertilizer nitrogen loss to the water sources, and the ecosystem services are improved. So we also need to look at beyond farms. The technologies work at the field and farm levels, but we need to look at the beyond farm in terms of restoring the landscapes. So for landscape restoration, we need collective community action in collaboration with the local government. We need to restore the natural capital like wetlands, peatland, mangroves, etc. And also we need to manage common resources and services across the entire landscape, like watershed, irrigation drainage, infrastructure, and farm roads and farm ponds, etc. We need to have effective governance to govern the local landscape resources by organizing and supporting all the different groups that are involved in agriculture. So what are the outcomes if we do it very well? Improved agroecological system, with increased productivity, resilience, and then equity and sustainability, it can be done. So in the long term, we have to move into regenerative agriculture. In the case of regenerative agriculture, it is nothing but using eco-efficient technologies, plus we need to convert all waste into new sources of energy as well as nutrient recovery. We need to conserve soil and water, intensify genetics again, maximize productivity per unit of land, per unit of input, and then restore and manage landscapes and common resources and enhance efficiency in productivity and profitability in the entire value chain. So these are the technical side which we can do with the regenerative agriculture. The socio-political factors, we need to manage the food demand by moderating population growth and reducing waste, etc. And we also should look at encourage people to consume less resource-intensive foods. And in the case of, we need supportive policies and institutions that will support both large and small farmers to improve sustainability in the intensive system. We need to enhance the education, agriculture, nutrition, health education in schools and colleges so that we can produce the future smart farmers that are required to manage the system. We can develop carbon and water footprints for all commodities as well as the services so that we can educate consumers to be very wise in consuming resource efficient services and the commodities. So here I have given how much nutrients is lost in the animal and human waste. It's about 170 million tons of nitrogen, 68 million tons of phosphorus, and 116 million tons of potassium actually. This is compared to the total amount of fertilizer nutrients applied every year, it is about 170 to 450%. That much nutrients we are losing in the human and animal waste. So what we do right now is we apply fertilizers, they produce the crop, eat and discard the waste. And these waste create a lot of environmental pollution and we lose a lot of nutrients. We need to close this cycle by developing efficient technologies to recover all the nutrients from the waste and use it very effectively in the farming systems so that it can be made sustainable very well. So, what are the key conclusions? We have used intensification. Currently, we are using the small or large industrial monocrop farms that are not sustainable. Everybody knows about it. We need to move from regional regenerative agriculture, which uses the eco-efficiency technologies and resource regeneration from waste. That is very important. Another form of intensification is happening with the high-tech closed-circuit greenhouse and the hydroponic product that produces food locally and also very efficient but is highly energy intensive. These are the two ways we can intensify. One is at the regional level, another one at the local level. So as I told you, the technical solutions are available or we can develop new technologies to make the intensive system sustainable. The most difficult part is the managing the socio-political factors like politics, power, poor governance, corruption, trade, and population control, etc. They are not easy to manage and that needs more attention. And also corporate influence of the food system is another factor. And then use of food crop for non-food purposes. All these factors which are connected with the socio-economic area, they need higher attention if you want to make the systems sustainable. So overall, we live in a world of GMO giants and ecological infants. And both have lot of good factors as well as some difficulties. If we can reconnect both for the mutual benefit of agriculture and then ecosystems, that will be really helpful. If we do it right, our children and grandchildren will be really grateful to us. Thank you very much and have a nice day. And I'll be happy to answer some of the questions. Thank you. Any questions please? Thank you. Yeah, please. Yeah.
Thank you, Bala. I was wondering what your vision is. There's a lot of technology innovation that probably needs to happen. Can that happen on a small farm, or will that inevitably drive us to larger farms and more efficiency? There's a lot of recycling will maybe not be possible, innovation not be possible, investment not be possible on very small farms.
Yeah, actually, when we consider... What we are talking about is, can we use the small farms to use all the technologies and then recycling of all the nutrients? The small farms are so small, is it possible to do it? So what I will do is, small farms, there are more than 500 million small farms, but if you go on dividing the farms into smaller and smaller plots, it is very highly inefficient. We need to have some kind of consolidation of land and other resources at the small farm level so that it can be made efficient. But at the same time, we cannot neglect the small farms, that large numbers. We need to work out and develop technologies which are equally accessible and available both for small farmers and large farmers. And in the case of recycling of nutrients, definitely is very important, especially recovering nutrients from the waste is very, very critical if we want to improve the sustainability. Without that, definitely we will not be able to make the system sustainable, intensive systems, and the whole life cycle also. Thank you.